Morning. Again, I want to welcome everybody here this morning that's able to be with us physically, but also want to welcome all of you who are worshiping with us online through our live streaming. We're glad to have you with us. We are continuing this morning. This is our second lesson in this series where we are asking the question or answering the question, how are we saved? So as we look at this, the text that comes to mind and really is the foundational text here is the story of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, where the earthquake occurred and Paul and Silas and the other prisoners were there, and nobody left, nobody escaped, but the jailer, being responsible for all of the people there, decided, well, you know, he's going to die anyway if anybody's escaped, so he takes out his sword to kill himself, and Paul and Silas stop him and convince him that everybody is there, everybody is safe, and he asks that question, what must I do to be saved? And that's what we're looking at through this series, is looking at how are we saved? How are people today saved? People are still asking that very same question today, right? What must I do to be saved? Unfortunately, a lot of people are given the wrong answers. They're not being told everything that the Bible tells us that we need to do in order to be saved. And we looked at this last week, looking at the all kinds of different things that people are being told, and the lists and things of that nature, that all the different aspects and so forth, but we're not being told completely. We've got a lot of things that are involved in being saved. The Bible tells us several things that are involved in it. But unfortunately, what happens is we've tried to reduce all of that down into these various lists. So we've got five-step plans of salvation. We got a seven-step plan. We got a 12-step plan. We talked about last time, we've got the four steps, if you want a condensed version, and even the ABCs of salvation. So with all of that variety and what is being taught, we know that there's a lot of stuff that's being left out or a lot of stuff that's being thrown in there. What does the Bible really say about how people are saved? And in particular, what we're really looking at is, what is the role of all of these various things that the Bible does teach are a part of us being saved? What role do they play? Because I'm convinced that if we don't understand the role that each of these plays, it's really easy to dismiss some of them as not being really that important, or some being more important than others. So this is really all about not just listing the things that we have to do to be saved, but it's helping us to understand why these things are so vitally important to our salvation. They all play a vitally important role, and none of them is more or less important than the others. In other words, you can't leave any of them out, and it doesn't do any good to emphasize some over the others, which is what a lot of people are doing today. One way to help us to make sure we really understand that is take a look at how did people in the first century, when these things were being taught initially, how did they understand these things? When they were told to believe, when they were told they need to confess, when they were told they need to be baptized, how did they understand those things? And when we can see it that way, then it helps us to, again, understand the importance of the role. And because many people don't understand it, they're not teaching it to other people properly. So we're kind of doing two things here. We want to make sure that people know what they have to do in order to be saved and why those things are important, but also to give us the tools to be able to teach people properly when they're asking us that question, what must I do to be saved? All right. This morning in our lesson, we're going to talk about the role of hearing. Okay. What is the role of hearing? We talk about, and people talk about, you have to hear and believe. Well, what does that really mean? Does it just mean I just got to hear the gospel and everything's fine? Well, there's a whole lot more to it than that. Let's talk about the role of hearing. All right, we start off with this question. Did you hear me? How many times have you ever asked someone that question? Okay. Spouses, wives seem to ask that question a lot of their husbands, don't they? All right. Did you hear me? And there's reasons for that, and that's because we have a lot of communication problems. All right. Sometimes we hear the sound, all right, that is the physical sensations, the vibrations in our ears. We hear that, but we don't understand what is being said to us, all right? And so then we ask this question, can you hear me? It's like the old Verizon guy, do you hear me now, right? So a lot of times we find ourselves asking that question, do you hear me? Hearing, and one of the important roles of it, of hearing, or part why it's so important in the role, is because hearing is vital to us in our communication with other people in a relationship. And if we don't hear correctly, then that's going to cause problems in the relationship. Okay? So we have this thing called selective hearing, okay? Guys, don't raise your hand. How many of you have one of these? Okay? Or maybe some of us have gotten this certificate of recognition for being selective hearing impaired. You know, we have that problem in our communication, don't you? And some of our wives are over here going like this, right? You see? Here's a wife and a husband. I don't know if you can read that or not. I got the test results back from your ear doctor. You don't have hearing impaired. You're listening impaired. Okay, how many of us are better suited that we are listening impaired rather than hearing impaired? You see, I know for myself, sometimes that's my problem. Okay, I'm not listening. I'm hearing what is being said physically, but I'm not listening. And if we're honest, I think probably most of us from time to time have experienced that listening impairment, don't we? Okay? I wonder if Jesus ever ran into this problem when he was healing people, okay? Where the wife wants him to heal her husband's selective hearing. And then this particular idea, I have selective hearing. I'm sorry, you were not selected. Okay? In other words, I am not listening to you. Okay? So selective hearing, there's a lot of different ways that that can go on, isn't it? Okay? Are you listening to me? And isn't that a question that's really important to us? And we oftentimes find ourselves asking someone, did you hear what I just said? Okay? Sometimes we get into this problem of what you say versus what I hear. Okay? One of the things that I do a lot in marriage and family counseling, we talk a lot about communication because we have a lot of problems in our communication within our families. And one of the things that I do is teach this what I hear you saying thing. It's basically, I call it correct the message or check the message. And so it's really the idea of when one person says something to the other, what you do is you feed that message back to the person. What I hear you saying is, and you tell them what you just heard from them. Okay? And we find out in doing that a lot of times what you are saying is not what the other person is hearing. And that's where the communication oftentimes breaks down. And sometimes we get into what I call a he said, she said. Because when you return the message back to the person, what you just heard from them, they oftentimes go, that's not what I said, and you know it. And you say, well, that's what I heard, you say. And that's where we need to be listening more carefully. We need to pay attention to what actually we are saying. Sometimes the words that we say, because of our tone of voice and our body language, send a completely different message. Okay? So we may be saying one thing, But the other person is hearing something completely different. All right? So these are problems that we oftentimes have with our hearing, okay? Or hearing problems that then affect our communication. Now, let me cause you to think about this. If these kinds of problems exist in our interactions and relationships with one another, how do you suppose they might affect our relationship, our communication with God? Okay? Do we, for instance, sometimes with God have selective hearing? Because we don't like what He's saying in this particular part of His Word. Is God saying one thing and we're hearing something completely different? Maybe sometimes because that's what we want to hear and not what He's actually saying to us. So you see, we can have those same kinds of communication problems in our relationship with God, and that's why one of the reasons why hearing has such an important role in our being saved is are we really listening and hearing what God has to say? All right? Let's talk about Greek for just a moment, all right? A little short lesson in Greek. It's Greek to me. Again, if we understand what the first century Christians understood when we use certain words, that helps us then to better apply what that was to us today, okay? So we go back to the original language that some of these things are written in the Bible, and it helps us better to understand what the meaning is when we understand what the word itself means and how it is used. The word in the Greek language to hear is akoue, and it means the receiving of a message, something more than the mere sense of hearing. So in other words, the word as it's used in the New Testament does not mean simply the physical sounds that you hear with your ears. Okay? It refers to the receiving of an actual message that somebody is giving to you. It is perceiving or grasping. Okay? Grasping or understanding and accepting what that message is. So again, when we typically think of the word hear and someone says, do you hear? Oftentimes, is it just resounding in your ear? Can you hear? If not, turn up your hearing aid, right? But the first century Christians, the people in that time in history, would have understood that when you said, do you hear me? They understood that to mean, are you listening? Are you accepting what I am telling you? You see? Not just physically are you hearing the sound of my voice. All right? Again, we have a lot of people in the world today who are what we call hearing impaired, legitimately. Okay? I just went to my doctor last Thursday and I had her check my ears because you remember when we had the ice storm back in the early part of February, and Cindy and I were both working at home that day when it was at its worst, and she was in one room where she has her office set up because she works at home a lot, but I set up my stuff in another room so we wouldn't be disturbing each other, and I had to listen to something on my computer, but I didn't want to disturb her. So I got out my earphone things, the earbud things you put in there. These were not the new ones. These were the kind that have the cord and all that. I'm old-fashioned, I guess. But I'd never used them before. And so I didn't realize there was a volume control on the cord for these things. And I put them in my ears, and then I plugged them into my computer. And it was so loud, I damaged my ears a little bit. It was very painful and has been for several weeks. But my doctor checked me the other day. She said, I don't see any damage there. I haven't been feeling any pain, by the way, last week or two. But she said, I didn't see any damage there, okay? But everything looks good. My point there is that, you know, sometimes we do damage our ears, our eardrums or what have you, and we have people who are definitely hearing impaired, All right? So in other words, the sound waves, the physical sensations that make us, or that we're allowed to hear, able to hear, that's not happening for a lot of people. And so things like hearing aids are great for those kinds of situations that allow you to actually hear the things that are being said to you in a much better way. So there are a lot of people that suffer from hearing impairment. All right? Some people don't really have a physical problem hearing, yet they are still hearing impaired. Okay? We just want to cover up our ears because we don't want to hear it. You ever done that with somebody? La 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 la. You know? I don't want to hear it. Okay? That's not real hearing impairment. Okay? That's just stubbornness. All right? We need to take our hands away from our ears and pay attention to what we are being told. Okay? Don't just cover your ears and say, I can't hear you. Duh. Some people don't pay attention to, or they ignore what they hear physically. It's like that switch, you know. I don't want to listen to you, so I flip it off. I'm not listening to you. Hearing impairment in that way. In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul addresses the problem of the hearing impaired Jews, okay, when it comes to Jesus. And let's take a look at this text and notice some important things that Paul has to say that has to do with people being saved and the role of hearing in our salvation. All right, so let's take a look at some of the things that he says. Beginning in verses 12 and 13, he says, there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we're going to talk about that specific role next week and talking about calling upon the name of the Lord, but that's part of this whole aspect in terms of hearing, okay? There are some who would argue in what Paul was saying that the Jews did not really have a fair opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel. That's part of what he's addressing in all of this, okay? So, Paul then lists the conditions that are necessary to call and be saved. Notice what he says here. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So if you look at this, in a sense, in reverse, what is Paul really talking about, all right? He's saying that we need to be going out and preaching the message to people. Because if we don't preach, then people can't hear the message, okay? If we don't send people out to preach and to teach, then people won't be able to hear the message. And if they don't hear the message, they're not going to believe. If they don't believe, they're not going to call on him. All right? So we need to be doing that and sharing the gospel with other people because that's the only way people are going to be saved is if they hear the message. All right? Now, as we go through looking at the rest of what he says here, here's the question. They did hear, okay, that is the Jews, they did hear, but they didn't accept the message. You see the difference between those two. They heard it physically, but they just didn't accept it. All right, look at what he says in verse 16. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? All right, in verse 17, he continues, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So he identifies here what the message is. Where do we find that message? It's in the word of Christ, and that hearing it is the avenue to faith. Faith comes, he says, by hearing the message. So unless people hear the message, they can't have faith. All right? He goes on to say, look at it here. The voice of the prophets went out among them. They were told. They were given the message by the prophets. All right? Look at what he says in verse 18. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. So again, the prophets gave the message, but the people didn't hear. Now, what kind of hearing did they not do? Not the physical sensations. They didn't accept the message that was given to them. You see? In verse 19, again I ask, did Israel not understand? They heard the message, did they not understand it? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. In other words, the idea here is that, okay, the Israelites refused to accept the message, but guess who did? We were talking about this some in our Bible class this morning, weren't we? Those nations that weren't part of Israel, the Gentile nations, many of those heard and accepted the message. You see? They heard and they accepted that message, and look at what he says in verse 20. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. Those other nations, they listened, they accepted, because they wanted to hear, that is, to receive the message. And then in verse 21, he says this, but concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held up my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. You see, right there is what really tells us what the hearing problem was all about, doesn't it? Again, they didn't have a problem physically hearing the messages that the prophet spoke to them. But they were disobedient and obstinate people. They had a lot of selective hearing going on. They accepted the parts that they liked, but the parts they didn't like, they disregarded, because they were disobedient and obstinate as a people. Okay? So let's talk about now the connection between hearing and believing. We saw that just a moment ago, didn't we? Well, let's take a look at a couple of things here. Hearing and believing. In the text that Tom read for us as we began this morning, John chapter 5 and verse 24, where Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Whoever hears my word and believes. Okay? The two of those go together. Now understand what Jesus is saying here. Is this not a promise of salvation? Okay? Whoever hears and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He has crossed over from death to life. But we need to understand, again, the roles here of hearing and believing. As we talked about last week, belief or faith, right? The two go together, but they are not exclusive of all the other things that the Bible tells us. So in other words, Jesus is not indicating here that that's all you have to do is hear and believe. Okay? Neither one of these things stand alone. Nor do these two together stand alone separate from the other things. Okay? Because, for instance, so you hear and you believe, you accept the message, but you don't receive the grace, you haven't accepted the grace, then how are you going to be saved? If you're not baptized into Christ, how are you going to have your sins washed away? All of those we'll talk about in later lessons in the study, but you understand my point. One of the things I want to make sure we understand is that none of these things that we're talking about stands by themselves. None of them is sufficient, in other words, in themselves, separate from all the rest of them. But each one has a distinct role that it plays in the salvation of souls. And hearing and believing go together. Someone simply cannot believe something they haven't heard. Okay? But hearing involves the accepting of that message. All right? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, again, we need to understand the role of hearing. Okay? How important is hearing? And again, not just the physical sounds, but the accepting of that message. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 24 and 25. Everyone, this is the parable of the wise and foolish builders, okay? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. So notice Jesus is connecting hearing with what? Doing, okay? Hearing and doing. It's not, again, it's not just enough to hear the message. We have to put that with the doing. All right? Look at what he says in the next two verses. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Why? Because the doing was not put with the hearing. Notice that both heard the message. And the only difference between the two is one did and the other didn't. You see? So the role of hearing, again, has to do with accepting that message and then acting upon what we have been told. All right? Take a look at what James talks about when it comes to hearing. He says, don't deceive yourself. And we can do that by hearing, but not really paying attention. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Again, here's the importance of action. He says, do what it says. Don't just listen to it and not obey it. Do what it says. If you don't, you're deceiving yourselves. And how many people have been deceived when it comes to salvation because they've heard the word and they say, yeah, I accept that, I like it, but they're not doing anything with it. You see? He goes on to say this, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Okay? So the idea here is, what good is it for you to look in the mirror in the morning and you see what you look like and then you turn around and walk away and you forget that maybe there's some adjusting you need to make? You see? Doesn't do any good to look at yourself and then walk away and forget that there's maybe some makeup smudge, ladies, or maybe, you know, some hair that needs to be trimmed or something, guys, or whatever the case may be. You see? Don't just look at yourself and go, huh? And off I go. Look at yourself with the intention of seeing, is everything as it needs to be? That's really what he's saying here. And before I walk away, let's make the corrections that I need to. And not just forget that, you know, hey, I got a smudge on my cheek here or something of that nature. Because if you walk away without fixing it, you're likely to forget what you look like. And that doesn't mean, you know, oh, what do I look like? And he's talking about those kinds of imperfections, things that need to be corrected, all right? He goes on to say this in verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. And again, there's the connection. Hearing is accepting and doing. Follow up with it, okay? He says he will be blessed in what he does. Okay? So the word, the idea of hearing, the role of hearing, is not just to physically listen to what God's word is, but it is to accept his word and then to act upon that which we've accepted. All right? Without those two together, all we're doing is hearing noise. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this, he who belongs to God hears what God says. And to the religious leaders of his day, he's saying this, the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Okay? The reason the religious leaders of the Jews of Jesus' day were not, they weren't paying attention to the words that Jesus gave to them, Jesus himself says, because they do not belong to him. So what is that? What's the message for us today? Okay, it's this. Do you belong? Are you hearing what God says? Okay? And by hearing, as I've said, I mean, are you accepting the message and acting upon that message? If you are, you belong to God. If you're not listening to God, you're not accepting his message, you don't belong to him. Okay? Now, with all of this, as we talked about last week, a response is required to God. Hearing always requires a response, doesn't it? As we were talking in the beginning of this thing, we ask one another, did you hear what I said? You know, if we say something to someone and they don't respond, we start wondering, again, are they listening? Did you hear me? Okay? And God is the same way. He's given us his message, and he wants a response from us. Okay? So hearing requires a response. All right? Hearing is then about, and the role that it plays is about responding to God's word. All right? And when we couple it with belief, as we saw earlier, okay? Hearing and believing, all right? Then what that does is we talked about last week with faith, it puts we then put our confidence in God. So the two of those go together. All right? So how are you doing in your response to God? Chuck has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song, and we're going to stand together and sing that in a moment. And on the song sheets on the screen at the bottom, for those of you who are worshiping with us online, we'll have the text numbers for Dale and for Wesley on there. And if you have a prayer request, if you have something that you would like for us to address or concern that you have, you can text either one of those numbers while we're doing this invitation song, and we will address that. And if there's anybody out there that is live streaming with us, you're not here with us physically, but you desire to become a Christian, if you've not given your life to Christ yet, you can do that today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then call upon him, as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from him, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that today. All you got to do is let us know that that's what you want to do, and we will make the arrangements to get with you as soon as possible so that you can be baptized into Christ and become a Christian. For those who are here with us physically, the same thing applies to you. If there's someone here who's not a Christian and you're ready to make that commitment to give your life to Christ, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you want Him to be Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. And again, repent of the sin that's separating you from Him, and we've got water that's ready right behind me where you can be baptized into Christ right now. All you got to do is let us know that that's your desire to do. And you can do that. Whatever your need is this morning, just let us know while we're singing this song. Let's stand together. Chuck, come on up.